Hi, I'm Lisa Wexler, and welcome to this morning's edition of the Accorda Scientific Excellence Award, where we bring you conversations with award-winning students, high school students in our region who are independently studying science, technology, engineering, and math, commonly known as STEM. This morning, I'm delighted to introduce you to Hamad Hassan, a winner from Ossining High School. Hi, Hamad. Welcome.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Hi. We've got Shayna in the background today, Matt, so you may have to ditch your headphones for a minute and get the dog, because otherwise she's impossible. So, Hamad, tell us a little bit about your project. What was the title, or what was it trying to do?
Okay, so the title was that targeted inhibition of a novel MALT1 and MAPK signaling network suppresses lymphoma.
All right, so let's go back
just
a minute.
Simplify.
So, what disease were you specifically interested in?
Specifically, I wanted to focus on the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Mm-hmm. What distinguishes lymphoma is blood cancer?
Right, it's a blood cancer.
And what distinguishes lymphoma from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma? What does that mean?
So lymphoma has actually been divided into two types based on genetic signatures and all those molecular classifications.
Okay.
Into non-Hodgkin and Hodgkin disease.
I see. And is one easier to treat?
Definitely. The Hodgkin disease tends to be much easier to treat compared to the non-Hodgkin one.
So for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, do we have like an average, I don't know, I won't say lifespan, but sort of an average amount of time that the treatments work and then the disease comes back?
Sure. What happens is that we have actually divided even that type of lymphoma into further many different subtypes.
Okay.
And those subtypes have varying outcomes. Usually, it is believed that around 60 to 75% of patients have 5 years of overall survival, and then non-Hodgkin lymphoma tends to come back, and that even happens to be more fatal.
So when it comes back, it usually comes back with a bang.
With strong, yeah.
But the average lifespan or the average amount of time you get for your treatment is 5 years.
5 years.
But some people obviously get more.
Definitely.
Okay. Now, you came at this project for a very personal reason.
Right.
So tell us about that.
About 4 years ago, around 3.5 years ago, my dad was diagnosed with a stage 4 non-Hodgkin lymphoma.
Stage 4?
Stage 4, yeah.
Which means it has already spread throughout the body?
Yeah. He actually had 4 pieces of that specific cancer in 4 different parts of his body. And then he went through this standard chemotherapy treatment for around 6 months. Luckily, however, we were able to clear that lymphoma, and he has been cancer-free since 3 years now.
So 3 years.
Yeah.
And so obviously you hope that you are with the good odds.
Definitely.
Because he got excellent treatment.
Mm-hmm, right.
But that must have been very scary.
Absolutely, because with it being stage 4 and all, that was a lot scary.
How old was your dad when he got the diagnosis?
42.
Oh, young man.
Yeah.
Are you the only child in the family?
No, I have 2 younger siblings.
2 younger. And your mom?
My mom, yeah.
So, terrifying diagnosis for everybody.
Definitely.
Did your dad have to suffer a lot through treatment?
Yes, because as soon as the treatment started, he kind of lost all his energy. Like, in a few days, he couldn't even walk as much as he used to before. Then he obviously started to lose his hair. And even after 2 years or so, he still felt some of the side effects. Even today, he kind of says that I'm not as strong as I used to be before.
And did he have to stop work, too?
During that 6 months, he did have to stop work.
And then he was able to get back.
Right.
Is your dad in science?
No, actually. He's an electrician.
Electrician? Well,
yeah.
Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
You have to at least know basic science to put things together. Otherwise, it's not good for anybody. We're chatting with Hamad Hassan of Ossining High School. Okay, so you obviously, I mean, this to me would be a source of motivation. You like science. Let me find out what happened to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find a mentor who was studying non-Hodgkin's lymphoma?
So actually, throughout my science research program in the school, I contacted 3 different researchers. And the one I was most interested in, Dr. Melnick from the Valconel Medical College, the reason being that he was focusing much more deliberately on not just the lab aspect of lymphomas, but also sort of the translational aspect of sort of doing something in the lab and then translating that into clinical studies. And that was just mind-boggling for me, and I really wanted to get involved. Sent him an email to my teachers, and he responded, very nice person, and in December of 2017, I had him as a mentor.
You had him as a mentor. And where did you say he was? What medical school?
Valconel.
Oh, Cornell.
Cornell, yeah.
And is that the new one that is across near Roosevelt Island now, or is that different?
It's in the Belfort Research Building around the 67, 69th
Street.
Oh,
so you're right there in the middle of that whole research area.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Memorial Sloan Kettering. There's
right.
a lot of places there. Okay.
Just around.
So you found a mentor, and you found a study. And what was this mentor looking at in his lab?
Because since he's the head of the lab, he has a lot of groups in the labs.
Okay.
And those groups work on different aspects of certain genes or genetics or maybe epigenetics and those things. I was particularly interested in this field of one field of genetic and specifically focusing on this one gene known as MALT1.
What is it called?
MALT1.
MALT1?
Right.
MALT1 is a gene?
Is a gene.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And what's important to know about this gene is that as soon as we inhibit this gene, lymphoma cells start to die simultaneously.
And when we use the word inhibit, let's use that in English, not in science. What does that mean?
In a way, block you.
We block.
Right.
So if we can block
certain genes that are regulating lymphomas.
Yeah.
As if though a software is regulating a computer.
Okay.
Genes regulate our bodies.
I like that. That's a good analogy. I can understand that.
So if we block that gene, we can sort of block those cells or the lymphoma cells from dividing. And that sort of kills lymphoma cells then.
So the gene is like the general.
It's like the general.
It's a general.
Right.
And if you can stop the orders right there, all the little soldiers don't do their
Absolutely.
Work. I have a question for you, Hamad Hassan. Mm-hmm. Is a gene something that can specifically be seen under a microscope? In other words, does it have a physical presence, or is it something contextually sort of written into the cells that can't be seen?
Well, we all have chromosomes, right?
Yes.
In our cells, we have the chromosomes. Now, a gene is a very, every chromosomes, all chromosomes have a lot of genes on them.
What do we have, like 17 chromosomes? How many we got?
40-something. I don't know the exact number.
DAGT or something like that?
That's like the nucleus basis and non-nucleus.
Okay. So, all right. So we got, would you say how many chromosomes? 40.
Some 42, I think.
42 chromosomes.
I'm not exactly sure, though.
All right. And that's the big. So that's the big thing, the chromosomes.
46, actually.
46
sure.
chromosomes. Mm-hmm. And those are the big.
Those are the big, yeah.
The big dividers.
Mm-hmm.
And then on each chromosome are many different genes?
Many different genes, right.
And are they physically located? In other words, are they like polka dots on top?
Definitely, just like the genes, and that is how we distinguish which gene is after the other gene.
What do you mean?
Let's say fingerprints, maybe.
Yeah.
A part of a fingerprint is after the other, and then after the other. Similarly, there's a chromosome, and then there are genes located on that chromosome, and then you move from one gene to the other gene.
Oh, they're linearly, so they're not like polka dots in a pattern.
No.
They are literally one after another?
Yes.
In a string?
In a string. And there are some short segments known as like the introns and then the exons, which sort of separate them from each other.
Oh, wow. Okay. And that's what it is. I wonder if string theory has anything to do with that. Absolutely not, right? No, string
maybe.
Theory is nothing to do with it. But that's when we say, we talk about unraveling the gene,
right.
Literally putting it so that everyone can see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, getting back to you, we're chatting with Hamad Hassan. You're listening to the Accorda Scientific Excellence Award. This is a program that is sponsored by Accorda Therapeutics, based in Ardsley, New York. I'm your host, Lisa Wexler, and we're chatting with award-winning students who are doing independent science research in our area. This morning, Hamad Hassan of Ossining High School is our winner. So, Hamad, you were interested in understanding more about non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Right.
You contacted a mentor at Cornell Med, and what specific laboratory study were you working on?
I was specifically working on this one gene, known as I already talked about. The MALT1 gene.
The MALT1 gene. What do we want to find out about the MALT1 gene?
So we have previously established that if we block that gene, lymphoma cells die. In other words, many lymphoma cells start to die. Even the most aggressive lymphomas, they start to die. The problem, however, is that's only for a short period of time.
What happens?
After some time, even if you keep inhibiting that gene, lymphoma cells do not die.
So, one can conclude that lymphoma is not really coming from that gene.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from elsewhere, but somehow that gene has something to do with it.
In that pathway, it has an extensive role in that pathway that's
regulating.
What?
In the battery?
In the pathway or the cascade.
The cascade?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the other word you used?
A pathway.
Spell it. Oh, pathway.
Pathway.
Pathway. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. That's okay. You have an accent to me. Where are you from?
I'm from Pakistan, actually.
Pakistan.
Yeah.
Okay. You speak beautiful English, but I just missed that word. Okay. So, when did you get here?
4 years ago.
Now, did you learn English in Pakistan? Was that
here? Mostly here, but...
Mostly here?
Yeah.
So you had to learn English and science.
Yeah.
How's the transition been from Pakistan?
It's been pretty good, actually. I like it a lot here.
And wait a minute. Was it sort of a coincidence that your dad got sick right around the same time you came?
Right. Just like, I think it was 2 months after we came here.
So you're here. Your family's here.
Yeah.
You don't speak English terribly well. How is your mother is assimilating? It had to be difficult.
Yeah.
Do you already have family here?
No. We all came like as same time.
And then your dad gets cancer.
Yeah.
He probably said, as long as I have to get cancer, thank God I'm here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Because at least we had the treatment. So.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
If you're going to get it, at least you're, you know, next door to the best hospitals in the world.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, nobody wants it, but
yeah,
that's the silver lining.
Exactly.
Okay. Wow. Your family. Boy. It's almost like trauma what happened to all of you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're talking about Malt 2.
1.
Malt 1.
Malt 1.
Is there a 2?
No.
Okay. Malt 1. And this gene is somehow responsible, because you know if you block it, that lymphoma cells die.
Right.
But not forever.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? Does another gene compensate and take over to make more lymphoma?
Great question. Here's what happens. So for a long time, we believed that this gene is regulating it. But now we kind of wanted to see maybe there are other genes which are helping this gene. Somehow.
Ah.
We do not know how, but somehow the hypothesis was...
And that they take over.
That they... not only that they take over, this sort of aids its function and that it becomes lymphoma resistant to it anymore. And they no longer... You know, even if you block it, it's no longer effective because it is just not by itself anymore.
Right.
Something else is regulating.
Something else.
Right.
So it's part of it, but it's not the solution.
Not the only solution.
All right. Let's find out more about what you found out coming up next. I'm Lisa Wexler. You can find out more about the Acorda Scientific Excellence Award by going on lisawexler.com, where you can listen to prior interviews. Or if you missed part of this interview, it will be posted on lisawexler.com. And you can find out more about the award itself by going on the Acorda Therapeutics website. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to cut costs without sacrificing quality? If so, Onboard Services is waiting for you. Onboard Services takes the administrative hassle of running a business off your hands. From payroll to benefit plans, hiring, and outplacement, Onboard does it all. Onboard has trained specialists to provide your organization with employees based on the skill sets you desire. A family-run business for over 40 years, including clientele among Fortune 400 companies, Onboard is experienced in over 100 disciplines. For temporary and long-term help, or if you just want to save money without dismissing your current employees, do what the experts do. Call Onboard Services right now. Call 609-945-8009. That's 609-945-8009. Or on the web at www.obcc.net. For a special offer, mention WGCH. Take the hassle out of running your business so you can concentrate on the bottom line. Call Onboard Services today.
Having a child with a learning disability is not easy. Winston Prep knows that. Until now, when your son or daughter was ready for high school, you've had few choices. Either send him away to boarding school, where he'll get that special attention he needs, or you take a shot at the local public high school, where you'll spend so much time trying to get them to provide enough support. But now there's another option. The Winston Prep School, located right in Norwalk. Winston Prep School is the only day high school for kids with learning disabilities. Actually, they start at grade 6, going through grade 12. Every child benefits from the FOCUS program, a daily one-on-one instructional session. Winston's highly trained teachers instruct kids with both language-based and nonverbal learning disabilities. If you're a parent who wakes up every morning and says, "What can I do today to make my kid's life a little better, to increase her chances of success?" then give Winston Prep a call at 203-229-0465. That's 203-229-0465. Or sign up for one of their upcoming open houses. Winston Prep may be the answer you've been looking for.
Hi, Hi, I'm Lisa Wexler. Join us every weekday on this station between 4 and 6 o'clock p.m. Hey, if you're thinking about it, we're talking about it. We're listening to what's happening in our community, and we want to hear from you as well. We talk politics, science, and the arts. We consult with experts, and we want your opinion. So join us every weekday. I'm Lisa Wexler right here at 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. And welcome back. I'm Lisa Wexler. You're listening to this morning's edition of the Accorda Scientific Excellence Award. And I'm pleased to introduce you once again to Hamad Hassan of Ossining High School, this week's winner. Hi, Hamad.
Hi, Lisa.
So, Hamad, we were just chatting to recap. We're talking about your investigation into a specific gene that is said to be responsible to some extent for the proliferation of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Right.
MALT1.
MALT1.
And what was your experiment?
What I wanted to see is that I'm going to block this gene, and I'm not going to look at if lymphoma cells die, because we already know they are going to die in the initial time.
But not forever.
But not forever.
So what are you going to look at?
I'm going to look at other genes. How are they responding to inhibition of this gene?
Okay. Because this way you'll learn more about what's happening what's happening.
Exactly.
Okay. And what are the other genes?
I just looked in a bunch of different genes. And
how do you know which genes to look at?
I actually looked at some previous studies, and some of them hinted at that these two might be interacting with each other in some other cancers and autoimmune diseases.
Okay.
But there wasn't much study about this in lymphomas in particular.
So you thought if it's happening in other similar diseases, maybe it's also here.
Right.
Okay, now how do you isolate those genes to look at them?
There's a technique called Western blotting.
Okay.
By Western blotting, what we do is we sort of attach an antibody. Now, what an antibody does is it attaches to that protein. And then I'm able to detect that through a machine, and that tells me if that protein is present or it's not present or how much of it is present.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that protein gives you a clue to the gene?
Yeah, because the gene is transcribing the protein.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So you're taking sort of a guess. That's what science is.
Right.
And you're doing some investigation. Mm-hmm. Has this investigation with respect to these genes and this particular manipulation in the body, had it ever been done before, to your knowledge?
Between these two, yes. But there wasn't, not in the context of this study. Not in the way that I was exploring it.
Okay.
I was kind of like looking at a different perspective on how these proteins are interacting, and then trying to explain that in the bigger picture of lymphomas.
And what did you find out?
I found out that as soon as I inhibit this gene,
yeah,
obviously its expression, how much it is present, goes down.
Okay.
But surprisingly, there was just a protein known as ERK, E-R-K. It started to go up.
Up.
Now, why is that?
I don't know.
Well, mysterious.
Exactly. Now, when I inhibit that ERK protein, MALT1 goes down.
Okay.
In other words, there's like a loop between these two.
Okay. There's some relationship.
Right. There's some relationship. Now, having established that these two are related, I thought, why don't I inhibit both of them at the same time?
And see what happens.
See what happens.
And now, remember, you're doing this in a lab.
In a lab, yeah.
You're not doing it on a mouse.
No.
And you're not doing it on a person.
No.
You're just looking at cells in a petri dish to see what will happen.
Right.
Okay. Let's hear. Okay.
So what I did is inhibited MALT1 separately and then the ERK protein separately. And then I inhibited them at the same time.
Okay.
And compared to each of them separately, the combination treatment had much more killing of lymphomas than either of them alone.
For how long?
For up to 96 hours.
And that's all you could do?
That's all I was able to do. I haven't been able to move to like 7 days or 8 days.
Okay.
And hopefully in the upcoming summer, I'll be able to do that.
In real life, mm-hmm. when the MALT2 is inhibited,
right?
How long do the lymphoma cells stay killed before they come back?
We do not know that, actually. The reason is that remember I told you that lymphoma cells come back after MALT inhibition? That is the reason we haven't been able to translate.
You mean
that
they come back so fast?
Right.
Oh, they don't come back like in a year.
No. It's just like a cycle which
starts. Ah, okay. So they come back in the course of being able to look at them in a day or two under the microscope. Oh, so it's not, you know, I understand. So you're just really at the beginning of understanding this mechanism.
Absolutely.
You're sort of far away from a clinical trial of a medicine.
A lot. Mm-hmm.
But you think that your experiment added to the basis of knowledge about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because the combo of the 1-2 punch might be onto something.
Right.
Did you want to see if these cancer cells died for more than 96 hours?
I wanted to do that. But what the problem was that at this time, I had sort of an A to Z mechanism. That I know these genes are interacting, but the problem is these were not interacting directly.
How were they interacting if not directly?
So what the ARC is that ARC proteins phosphorylate. And what I mean by phosphorylate is that they have this chemical group known as phosphate, and they attach this phosphate to other proteins.
Okay.
Now, they cannot attach this group to MALT1.
All right.
So that gives me the clue that this is not a direct relationship and instead an indirect relationship. In other words, there's this whole pathway between MALT1 and ERK.
That you can't see yet.
That I can't see
yet.
You
can't tell. Something is carrying some RNA, something or other. Something
right?
is carrying some message,
mm-hmm.
and you can't tell what it is
I can't
yet.
See what it is.
But you can see the end result.
The end result. Sort of like an A to Z mechanism.
I got it. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like the research, Hamad?
A lot.
Did
I think
you like
it has gotten me a lot interested in what lab looks like
yeah.
and what's the lab life.
What was that like? You know, do you like the lab? Do you like
yeah.
putting on the white coat and all that stuff? Yeah?
And especially like getting to interact with the professionals of the laboratory and super cool people.
Really?
Helpful and all. Very helpful. Because I walked in as a high school student.
Right. Any other high school students in the lab when you were there?
One more high school
mm-hmm.
student with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just walked in without any knowledge. And I think when I came out at the end of the summer, I had a lot of knowledge about, not only about this particular topic, but science as a whole.
Well, that's the point, isn't it, of the science research?
Definitely.
So what year are you?
I'm a junior currently.
You're a junior.
Right.
And how long have you been doing science research?
I started science research beginning of the sophomore year, but the sophomore year primarily consisted of learning the vocabulary and more about the topic.
Right. And documents and research
right.
and
yeah.
all of that.
Yeah. Or contacting the mentor and all that. And then after the sophomore year, during my junior year, I actually did this research, which was this past summer. And now being
and then you
junior,
wrote it up in a paper and
yeah.
you understand. Did you submit your papers to fairs and things like that?
I haven't submitted my paper to fairs. Apart from Accorda.
Right.
But
congratulations.
I have presented at different science fairs throughout Westchester and
yeah.
Brooklyn. And
the WestF and all that
West
stuff.
WestF and all that, yeah.
That's great. That's great. We're chatting with Hamad Hassan of Ossining High School. Your high school has a particularly distinguished
mm-hmm.
science research program. How many kids are in it?
We have around 102 kids, around 100 kids so far.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Who's your teacher?
Mr. Angelo Piccirillo and Miss Valerie Holmes.
Yeah.
Amazing people.
Amazing people. Very devoted.
A lot.
To the next
yeah.
generation of scientists. Mm-hmm. So when you came in this, you thought, you know, maybe I'll just see what this is like. Do you think that you're going to want to stick around with science? Do you like the idea of becoming a scientist or staying with science?
Yeah. I'm not sure if I would be sticking around with research.
Right.
Or
maybe pre-med?
Pre-med or something, but definitely in the field of, because it has a lot of actual outcomes. We see this being translated into actual life.
Absolutely.
And
when you were going through all this, did you come home every day and talk to your father about it?
I did, but that was on the weekends because I would come back home around like 8 o'clock and I would just go back to sleep.
Tired.
Yeah.
Right. He must be very proud, though.
A lot, yeah. And he encourages me a lot.
Do you think that this is a lab that you'll want to return to for more scientific research to keep going with your particular experiment?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, because not only am I returning this upcoming summer.
You are? That's great.
I was just talking to my mentor a few days ago. We had this meeting. We were joking around. He was just telling me, that I would hire you as a PhD without even you getting the PhD and all that.
Really?
Yeah, super cool person. I think my lab is particularly doing some amazing experiments, and not only in the fields of genetics, but like this new emerging field of epigenetics.
What's epigenetics?
So epigenetics is that we know genes and all. They all exist, right? There's like this whole...
So you've said.
Right, yeah. We have all this genetic code and everything. Now, that has been established for a long time. Now what we know is that, yes, the genes exist, but maybe there's something that regulates those genes such as the environment, such as our surroundings. And those things have so important role that they even can affect cancer.
And what is epigenetics? Is that the study of things that can affect genes?
That's the study of things that affect the genes and or the genetic code.
So that can make our genes go haywire?
Yes, but they can sort of change their role without changing them.
So let me ask you, for example.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I have read recently that people believe that stress can be inherited.
Right.
And can show up on your genes.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be an epigenetic phenomenon?
Absolutely. Epigenetics, like one of the major fundamental of epigenetics is that something goes on during your life and then some of those traits get inherited. Let me give you a small example.
Yeah.
Giraffes, for example.
Yes.
Some giraffes have long necks, right?
Oh, obviously. Don't they all have long necks? Okay.
But
I would say that's the distinguishing feature of
right.
giraffes. Okay.
But during some part of the history, some giraffes needed a lot longer necks. And they adapted to having longer necks because that was the only, even more longer necks than the usual ones.
Because they had to reach the top of a tree or
absolutely.
Something like that? Okay.
So some of them got those... No, they did not change their genes or something, but something happened that they got the even longer necks. Now, they passed those traits to the future generations, and that is what epigenetics is.
Okay.
In its
all
proximity.
Right. All right. Well, it's all very exciting, and that'll
absolutely.
Be the next phase you think of your interest in science?
Definitely, yep.
And what was the most surprising thing, Hamad Hassan, about doing this experiment, this particular one? What was the biggest surprise to you?
The fact that it worked.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that exciting?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That is cool.
Yeah.
You took a guess, you took a stab, and all of a sudden, the cancer cells stopped better.
Right.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could have done hundreds of other genes, and it might have taken you forever to get to this combo.
Absolutely.
So you stumbled upon something really cool.
Mm-hmm.
If I were you, I'd want to get back in the lab, too.
Yeah,
very
definitely.
Nice. Well, you've been listening to the Accorda Scientific Excellence Award with a little bit of Shana in the background.
Yeah.
I'm Lisa Wexler, and I thank you for joining us this morning. Hamad Hassan of Ossining High School, congratulations
thank
to you.
Thank you very much.
And your science teachers.
Thank you.
Because you talk about epigenetics, you're in an award-winning program.
Mm-hmm.
That helps a lot, too.
Absolutely.
For your environment.
Yeah.
And we wish your dad well.
Thank you.
And to hear more of what this is about, please go on lisawexler.com and listen to some of our past interviews. To find out how you can apply or someone you know who can apply, just go on Accorda.com, ACORDA.com. And we thank Accorda Therapeutics for being our sponsor.